Good morning, my friends. Happy, happy Easter. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. He is risen indeed. Thank you for joining us again for worship here online at scchartford.org. I am wearing my new white robe that my mom got me as a graduation present last year, in symbolizing the white, the rebirth, the new life, the forgiveness and grace that we received from Jesus on the cross, so actually from the empty tomb on Easter Sunday. Because this has been a heck of a week. Jesus died at 3 o'clock p.m. on Friday last. He was placed in Joseph of Arimathea's personal family tomb. Joseph was a member of the Sanhedrin, the leading religious group in Jerusalem. When that happened, all the followers of Jesus were devastated. They were crushed. They did not see this coming for whatever reason. It was not what they expected to happen. But as we know, the story didn't end there. For then, please join me in the unison prayer as we prepare to study the Word of God. Let us pray. Lord, upon the pages of this book is your story. It is also our story. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, our minds that we may understand, and our hearts that they may be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen. Then, Matthew 28, beginning in the first verse. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as the snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel of the Lord spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." May God bless to us the hearing and understanding of his holy and inspired word. Can you imagine? They approach the tomb where they know Jesus' body was laid. They saw his body put in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb. And suddenly they exclaim, perhaps, "Holy moly, he isn't here. He is risen. He is risen indeed." This was a surprise. You see, when Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot and arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, all the disciples fled out of fear. In fact, there was one disciple who ended up running away from the garden stark naked because his clothes were being held by a temple guard or a Roman soldier, and he just let them all tear away and off he went. They all deserted Jesus in his hour of need. They were now gathered in the upper room, worried that they could be next. If this could happen to Jesus, certainly the followers of Jesus are just as vulnerable. What was their mindset? They certainly weren't thinking about resurrection. Even the women who were the most faithful throughout Jesus' ministry, who funded his ministry out of their own pockets, they too weren't expecting resurrection. I mean, they went to to the tomb. Why? At the end of the Sabbath, with oils and spices to anoint what they fully expected to be a body in a tomb. So to be told, I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. To find the tomb empty was not what they were expecting to find. And that changed everything. It should have. And it did. They went from hiding in the upper room, paralyzed with fear, to Jesus appearing in the upper room. Remember, even Thomas got to put his fingers in the holes in his hands and put his hand in Jesus' side. He was alive. He had risen, and that changed everything. It changed every person in that room. Change is the difference between believing in Jesus and believing in Jesus. We can believe that Jesus existed, that he walked the earth, that perhaps he said some amazing things and did some even more incredible things. But until we believe in our hearts that he is the Son of God, the Messiah, who died for our sins and rose again, offering us forgiveness, mercy, grace, and everlasting life, until then, sometimes believing in Jesus is more an intellectual exercise, not a spiritual transformation. Change is the difference between believing in Jesus and believing in Jesus. I mean, before Jesus rose, look at the disciples. The disciples were one way. They were fearful. They were doubtful, Thomas. They were unsure. They were disbelieving. When the women did return, they didn't believe them. First, Peter and John had to run to the tomb to check for themselves. And then they remained in the upper room, still in fear, still not sure, until Jesus appeared. And then everything changed. After they believed Jesus had rose, and after Jesus appeared to them, they changed completely. Everything was different because they believed. Peter went from cowering in fear to stepping out of the upper room, preaching the gospel, the truth of a risen Christ, and 3,000 people joined the church that day. Like bunnies, we were multiplying. Again and again, the tomb was empty, and they believed. He has risen, and they believed. They were changed forever. So is it not only fair to ask myself the same question? Maybe for you to ask yourself, has anything changed for me? Has anything changed for you? Or am I still afraid to proclaim the truth, to talk about a risen Christ, to share the gospel story, the truth which we believe with all our hearts, with family, friends, neighbors, co-workers? Are we still cowering in our upper room of fear, afraid to live out our faith? I'm sorry, I can't meet you for breakfast with the rest of the guys. I'm going to church. I can catch up with you after. Matter of fact, why don't you all come to church with me? We can go to brunch. We can go to lunch afterwards. Am I afraid to suggest that, to offer that, to identify myself as a follower of Jesus? Am I different? Do I speak differently? Do I think differently? Most importantly, do I act differently? I mean, This is a unique time in our lives, having been quarantined these past few weeks. It is also a unique time to seek an answer to that question. Because fear, stress, and anxiety all can be very overwhelming right now. In the midst of this, am I still hiding? I don't mean quarantine. We're all supposed to be quarantined. We're all supposed to be practicing social distance. We're all supposed to be staying home. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, am I in my upper room of fear, afraid to let everybody know I am a follower of Jesus? Have I been changed, or am I still afraid? Has anything about me changed? I mean, there are only two possible reasons why things happen, why anything happens. Many people ask why is this coronavirus event taking place? Why? Well, there are only two possible reasons for anything to happen in the universe, in the world. Number one, God causes it to happen. Or number two, God allows it to happen. Since God is sovereign, all-powerful, in charge of everything, those are the only two options. He causes it, or he allows it. Now, I do not think God caused COVID-19. So then the only other option is, why did he allow it? Well, I suppose we could ask that question of a lot of things, couldn't we? I mean, I don't know. We could ask the same question about the Black Death, the bubonic plague that devastated Europe in the 14th century. We could ask about the 10 plagues that hit Egypt before Moses led God's people out of bondage. We could ask that about the Holocaust. We could ask that about ISIS or the New York Yankees. Just kidding. Did God allow this as a test? I'm trying to grasp for answers just like anybody else. Did God allow this as a test of our faith? Because it is testing us, is it not? And it is determining or exposing who has been changed. A famous football coach once said, it's a great quote, I've never forgotten it. It said, football does not build character. Football does not build character. It reveals it. It reveals something that already existed in someone. And similarly, in the reading in Romans chapter 5, I know most people don't like to hear these words, but this is the word of the Lord. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, we read, "We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love." We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. See, in a very similar way, problems and trials do not build character. Notice what the Bible says. They develop endurance. It develops strength of character. Develop means nurturing something that is already there. So problems and trials don't build our faith. They reveal it. They develop it. I mean, some of the fastest growing churches in the world, bar none, are in places where Christianity is severely persecuted, where you cannot own a Bible. It's illegal. It's against the law. You cannot gather to worship Christ. You're at risk of officials bursting in the doors and taking everybody off to jail or executing you right on the spot. There are places all over the world like that. And you know what? In places like that, that's where the church is growing the fastest. That's where the bunnies are multiplying the most. In places like Iran and China. What is it about that circumstance that causes growth? We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us develop endurance, strength of character, and our confident hope of salvation. So, I don't know. Maybe this is a problem and trial meant to test us and to develop our strength of character, to reveal faith. How will we, as a people of faith, respond at such a time as this? And I think times like this will, as they say, separate the men from the boys, the real Christians from those who just talk a good game. There are a lot of people who know the lingo. They talk like Christians, they profess to be Christians, but watch their behavior closely. Oftentimes their actions do not mirror their words. Anybody can talk a good game. At times like this, the men are separated from the boys. The women are separated from the girls. The real Christians are separated from those who just talk a good game. Am I still hiding my faith? Am I living out my faith? Are you? I mean, even at a tough time like this, we can still do things. We can participate in making masks for those in the healthcare industry who are in dire need, or others who really could use a hand. That's doing something. That's behavior. That's acting. Putting your faith in action. We could pray. You can pray in a quarantined house. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to be listening to a pastor or church leader. We can pray. That's doing something. We can call shut-ins or our elderly members or our parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles just to check in on them and let them know we care. We can participate in Takeout Tuesday and support our local restaurants and eateries, helping them try to stay. We can do something. We can act. So that's the question I have for myself. Has the risen Christ changed me as it changed Peter and the other disciples? Does this new me think of others? Or am I still stuck on myself? Am I that guy that bought all the toilet paper, leaving none for anybody else? Because what's most important is me? Or have I changed? Do I have more compassion? Is my outlook different? You know, in most places in this world, other people feel like we are feeling right now about coronavirus, about many diseases that we don't even think about anymore. I wondered, so I looked it up on the internet. I typed in the top 10 diseases in the third world. Do you know what they are? Number 10, meningitis. Number 9, whooping cough. Number 8, yellow fever. Number 7, diarrhea. Number 6, measles. Number 5, polio. Number 4, cancer. Number 3, tuberculosis. Number 2, HIV/AIDS. Number 1, the number one disease that the third world worries about, as we are worrying about this disease, malaria. Think about that just for a moment. Except for cancer, we don't even see HIV/AIDS as a fatal illness anymore. We've learned to treat it and live with it. Except for cancer, none of these diseases do we even think about anymore in America. They've been conquered. We don't have any stress about diarrhea. We go to the drugstore, we buy some Imodium, problem solved. There are people dying with diarrhea. The stress and anxiety and fear of those diseases, we've forgotten about entirely. And yet it is something 70% of the world. That's right. Third world countries make up 70% of the world. That's almost 3/4 of the world. They worry about those things every single day. They feel like this about whooping cough, about measles. When's the last time you ever heard anybody come down with measles or malaria? So, back to my question, why allow COVID-19? I thought maybe God thought it was a good idea that I walk in their shoes, in the shoes of 3/4 of the rest of the world's reality, for just a day or so, for a week or so, to understand how others live, how the less fortunate live, to test me to see if I've really changed. I don't know. I am searching for answers just like anybody else out there, trying to make an educated guess. Truth is, we may never know. Perhaps why is even the wrong question to ask to begin with. Since believing in the risen Christ, maybe the better question, has my heart been changed? Maybe that's the question. Am I any different? Or will I go back to business as usual when this is finally all over? Because it will come to an end. We will be looking at coronavirus in the mirror at some point. Will I just return to things as usual? Or have I been changed because of what happened on Easter Sunday 2,000 years ago? Do I believe? Maybe I have changed. Maybe I now feel motivated to go on a mission trip, to put my faith in action. If I can't physically do that, maybe I am ready to support missionaries anywhere in the world. Maybe to support our M25 Haiti missionaries who go to a third world country every year to try to make a difference in their lives. If not the M25 Haiti mission team, maybe Doctors Without Borders. Maybe I give to Mercy Ships or Operation Smile or Samaritan's Purse. Maybe I sponsor a child through World Vision. Or, like my daughter, my Ugandan daughter, Sauda, through Imani Malele. So much of the world, my friends, 70%, almost three quarters of the world, just needs someone to care. And not just care. Many people have empathy. Oh, I am really sorry about that situation. We see those advertisements at late night TV and our hearts are broken. But when the commercial's over, do we just return to our television show? Or do we respond? Do I feel a need to respond? We need more than just caring. We need transformation, because today is all about transformation. It's all about change. Not just caring, we need acting. Have I changed? Have you? No one expected an empty tomb. No one. The disciples didn't expect it. That's why Peter and John ran quickly to see if it was really true. That's why the women brought spices ready to anoint a dead body. No one expected an empty tomb. When they finally realized it was true, holy moly, he is risen, and what it meant, it changed them. Well, I am celebrating my 31st Easter. It's been 31 years since I got saved in 1989. Now, of course, I celebrated Easter with bunnies and eggs and chickadees for many years prior to that, but in 1989, I experienced Jesus in my little upper room, and everything changed. So this is my 31st Easter that I've celebrated since that moment. Maybe I needed to be reminded. Maybe I needed to be asked again, have I changed yet at all? Has COVID-19 revealed anything to me about my character? Or am I just counting down the days until I can get back to Red Robin and have one of those Royal Red Robin burgers with the hardwood smoked bacon, American cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, mayo, and an egg on top. And you can squeeze the top of the bun and it bursts that yolk and it goes running down. Oh, I can't wait to have a Royal Red Robin, but am I just counting down the days till I can eat out again? The empty tomb changed everything and everyone who believes. Everyone. Please don't ever think that your sins are so great that God can't change them, can't forgive them. That's a lie. No matter who you are or what you've done, God can change your old life into a new one. All you have to do is believe in what happened on Easter Sunday morning. Yes, holy moly, the tomb is empty. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Everything has changed. Wouldn't it be great if our families and our friends said the same about us? Holy moly, you have changed. You are not the person you were a year ago, 2 years ago, 31 years ago. You are different. I pray that for you this Easter, as I pray it for me. Why? Because there are too many people all over the world just waiting for things to change. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, let's go and be the change we want to see in the world. Happy Easter, my friends. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so grateful for this new opportunity, for this new life. You have changed everything in my life, Lord. You have changed everything in me. May I respond accordingly. Perhaps, Lord, through this experience of coronavirus, may I realize this is how the majority of the world lives every single day, and may I be changed and now motivated to do something about it. I can't do it all myself, Lord. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And if each one of us makes an effort to change the circumstances of those in need all over the globe, yes, in our community, but even our community here in Hartford, Lord, is in America, the most affluent and abundant and blessed country in the world. But to change the lives of those who are under this kind of stress that we are experiencing when one of their family members comes down with diarrhea. Lord, I thank you for this reminder of how the rest of the world lives. I thank you for this opportunity for self-introspection. I pray that this problem and this trial that we have faced has revealed something in me, that it has revealed something in everybody within the sound of my voice, that it has revealed the reality that we have changed because of what happened on Calvary and in Joseph of Arimathea's family tomb. Father, we are grateful for Easter Sunday morning, and we thank you that he has risen. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Happy Easter, my friends. God bless.